But somebody like that, wow, we got to get the word out. I just want you to take yourself back there and think from a different perspective, in that this was all brand new to them. And Jesus is telling this story about a farmer sowing seed. And when we hear it with our understanding today, how many of you guys have ever had a garden? You go out, you till up the soil, you pick up the rocks, maybe you fertilize, you put those seeds in straight rows. Agriculturally, things were done so different then. And for the most part, I mean, I've actually heard different explanations, depending upon what preacher is trying to make his point. But it seems as though seed was cast on an area, and then ground was turned up. They didn't have tractors to go through. So when you're casting seed on soil, you can't tell from the surface of the soil if there's rock underneath there or what it's like. So it wasn't a matter of carelessness, of just casting seed haphazardly. But there were different kind of soils. And that's the other thing, is we read this, we read about what is different in these examples that Jesus has given. Is it different seed? No. It's one sower. It's not different farmers sowing seed. The difference is the soils. It really should be the parable of the soils and the preparation of that soil for receiving that seed. So as we go through the different ones here, do that on each point. That'd be cool. Just another thing about the parable before we do, kind of an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. When we get to verse 9, then his disciples asked him, what does this parable mean? And we have such a tendency to bust on the disciples, and these guys were morons, you know, how did they not get what we so clearly see? Again, they're in that crowd hearing this for the first time. And Jesus hasn't yet given them the key. A parable is more like, rather than an illustration, more like a poem or a riddle, that if you know the key and you get the point, and I think spiritually we sometimes over-spiritualize parables and try to make application of every single little piece of it, but they've really been designed to give one central punch of understanding. So the disciples ask, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you... So the disciples are asking Jesus, and then he responds, to you. So who's Jesus speaking to? The disciples. To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And then look out to the crowd. But to the rest, it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. That sounds... I don't know. When I first heard that, sounds kind of harsh. Like, Jesus, you trying to hide this from? I mean, you're supposed to be coming to preaching and bringing glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and this is not a secret, right? Any idea why Jesus would speak in a parable that people can't fully understand? Yeah, I like that. So we would have to seek him to gain understanding, to dig deeper. Let's go back to the verse that we started with. Take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear. That it's a big deal. It's a huge responsibility. Wish not that many of you are teachers, for there's a greater accountability. Right? If you are a teacher, if you share the word of God, you are held to a different standard. You have a higher level of accountability. It's a big deal to get up front and share the word of God. But I want you to know, it's not my job to entertain you. It's not my job to come up with great examples or illustrations and do all this so that you can have understanding. That the responsibility is equal here. That you've got a responsibility when you hear the word of God. When you hear the truth, not just to receive it, but to receive it and apply it. So seeing they may not see, and hearing that they may not understand, I believe completely that this was Jesus giving an opportunity. A parable is like a doorway. All those that would gather are at this doorway, and Jesus gives a parable and allowing those that would desire to seek him and learn more the chance to walk through that door. and to gain more understanding and to seek him. And those that were not sincere seekers, that they could just stand there and hear it and not receive greater condemnation for having heard the truth of the word of God, that their accountability would increase and the responsibility for having heard the truth and not acting on it. It was actually merciful that there wouldn't be greater condemnation. I like that example of a doorway. Can you show the first picture that I gave you guys? No, show the other first picture. There you go. Never mind, you just blew it. Just, no. Does anybody know what that is? I'm sorry, I'm having some flashbacks. That's the top of Katahdin, from the top of Katahdin, the view that you see. I think right there I was going into leg spasms. And that's the view that you see from the very top of Katahdin. Yesterday, at the top of Katahdin, the temperature was 35 degrees. And the winds, at a minimum, sustained winds, not gusts, were 35 miles per hour. So somewhere around 1 o'clock this morning, I got to look at the wind chill chart. So that was 21 degrees. So we didn't stay long up at the top. In fact, Nick was, I think, already down for 2 hours by the time we got up there. That's the view from the top of Katahdin. Let me see the first slide. That was the view from the top of Katahdin yesterday. All that effort to get up there, and this was what you saw. Let me ask you a question. Was the view any different? I mean, was what was out there any different? The truth of creation, the beauty of creation, all of that was no different. The viewpoint, the obstacles were completely different. But go back to the first slide. Yeah, keep the first, yeah. We came off that peak, and 20 minutes later, half hour later, you get down closer to Chimney Pond, and we looked up, and that's what the skies looked like. And that is sort of the deal with a parable, guys. Those that would seek, those that are willing to go further, those that are willing to go through that doorway are rewarded with greater understanding. They have opportunity to learn more. They have opportunity to see more. And those that are little wimps and it's 21 degrees and get right out of there, don't want to know anymore, they're stuck with a clouded view. They don't see clearly. Actually, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 10, speaks of that it's not ignorance or lack of understanding, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Okay, if you didn't understand any of that, listen to these next couple of verses. Verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? It means that on our own, we see that cloud. Those in the crowd here, hearing this story, they heard a farmer chucking seed and all over the place. Those that sought greater understanding and walked through that door of the parable, it was spiritually understood. God revealed further truth to them that they may understand, okay? I've taken a lot of time, but you guys get what a parable is. It's not just an example. It's not just an illustration, but it's an earthly truth with a heavenly meaning. So Jesus says that they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, verse 11, he gives us the key. The key to the understanding of this whole parable, the seed, is the word of God. So we know the seed in and of itself, that which was cast, was no different. Every application, every story, every place, every soil that that landed on, the seed was the same. The seed was the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. That's a little scary to me. I want you to look what it says again. Those by the wayside. So the wayside, just to get in our heads, you guys have seen the fields that are plowed up around here, and the outer perimeter is the hard compact spot. You hunters know that, right? Instead of traipsing across a field, if you walk that, actually this right here, okay? This is a field, and this is a field. This area in between, nice and solid, hard, right? Soft and gushy over here. But what would happen if you threw seed down right there? Would it grow on that path? No. So those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts. So those that hear, but never hear with understanding, like 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talks about, that the Spirit hasn't revealed, that they receive the same word. The seed has been cast. It's landed there, but the devil actually comes and takes it away. What might cause that? Reality, real life. I went to church this morning. Boyfriend, girlfriend, family member. I went to church this morning. I heard the truth. And I believe in Jesus, and I'm going to be a follower of Christ, and I'm going to get rid of all this stuff. And you tell that other person, and they say, okay, you're on your own, wacko. And just like that, when it's challenged, when it's threatened, when it's snatched away. Or distraction. You know, that's take heed how we hear. Do we pray before we come? Distraction. Sometimes distractions just happen when you got people. You know, I mean, unavoidable. Things happen. Some avoidable, some not avoidable. Some distractions happen from the pastor. You know, maybe Ron will tell you, squirrel, you know, my mind goes different places. I'll give an example where there's a weird idiosyncrasy that I do or something that distracts you, or I give an example of being on a boat and all of a sudden your mind is like, oh, my boat, man, it's freezing out. I got to clean that thing, take care of that, put it away, and all of a sudden your mind is racing, an unintentional distraction, but it happens. And that word that you've heard is gone. And that's those by the wayside. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time, temptation fall away. Okay, different class of people. The seed wasn't on the wayside, wasn't on that hard ground, but actually landed in what looked like fertile soil. But it was this deep. You know, in that rock underneath, it was really warm soil, so at first, it was like, psh, pop up. Anyway, I planted seeds a number of years ago, just before we were going on vacation, and put them in these little trays in the window and all that, and that hot, warm soil, they popped up, and they got all high and long and spindly, and they were never transferred to soil where they could take deep root. And I came home, and there were all these tall plants laying down. That's kind of an example of this. But that soil is warm, and there's not a lot of place to take root. But I want you to see something that we don't have here that we've got back in verse 6. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because of lack of moisture. All right, so it's not just a lack of depth of soil, or who believe for a while, or who hear it, and maybe there's something emotional going on, or Jim breaks out old school songs, and it just really touches you that day. And then you hear the word and you're emotionally moved. And I don't mean manipulated, but it touches you and you hear it and receive it, and then you go out there and it quickly fades. Depth of soil, lack of moisture. The Holy Spirit is often referred to as living water. And guys, I think we miss that sometimes as we go through this and we read, it has no root, they believe for a while, temptation comes and they fall away. But verse 6 says that it also lacked moisture. It also lacked living water, an anointing of the Holy Spirit, maybe on the teaching, maybe on the preaching, maybe on the hearing. How often do you, this is not a point of condemnation because most of what I say is what the Lord speaks to me about throughout the week. But when is the last time that when I knew I was going to a teaching, that I sat down before the Lord and said, God, I'm gonna go to church today. And I've got some time on the other side of the pulpit, and I'm going to hear your word taught. And Father, I'm asking you to anoint that by the Holy Spirit, to take that and heed the way that I hear that. Lord, give living water to that word, that it would have depth of soil in my heart, that I would prepare ahead of time to do that. Again, it's the parable of the soils, guys. How do we prepare the soil that the seed is going to fall on? I'm not trying to bust on you because I just think that's so common that we come to church and we're going to gather and we're going to sing and all that, but do we have that time of preparation for the living water? When I teach or we have one of the younger guys come up and teach, one of the things I continually tell them is pray, Lord, for this group of people, for this time, what is it that you would have them to say? But the responsibility is also on us as the soil, on us as the hearers. Lord, I'm going to hear your word. Take away the distractions. Don't let the clever comment that's made from the person sitting next to me take away that word. Or don't let something that bugs me about Brian distract me from what you're trying to say today. That your Holy Spirit, that your Holy Word would do its work in me. And then verse 14, we'll pick up the pace a little here. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and the pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. It's almost as if the soil is too fertile there, right? It's so fertile that the seed grows, but so do the thorns, so do the thickets, so do the things that choke it out. They get choked out with the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of life. Totally different level of distraction, right? It's like, no, it's good and it's growing and I'm hearing it and I'm taking it in, but I'm taking this and I'm taking this and I'm taking this and this is a piece of my life. You know, God, you got this over here, but you're not my all in all. I got the cares, the riches, the pleasures of this life. Reminded me as I was going through this of the church of Laodicea. In Revelation chapter 3, to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works. You're doing some stuff that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were hot or cold. So then because you're lukewarm and neither hot, cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth because you say, I'm rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. If Jesus were to ask them, how are you doing? Good. I got this soil in and things are going good and my job's going good and the cares of this world and the riches and the pleasures of life. It's all good, Jesus. And you got your spot. That's how they would respond to this third category of soils. Everything's good. And Jesus would say, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. You bring no fruit to maturity. Verse 15, here's all you guys, right? But the ones that fell on good ground, and I say that jokingly, because what I don't want to do, guys, is we go through these and you hear that and somebody's distracted by the cares and the pleasures of life. Well, that must be somebody here. You know, I don't want to look around, but God put us in this scripture at this time on this day, so somebody here. And I think when we go through this, it's really easy. Verse 15, but the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. That's who we all want to be. But the truth is, probably, if we're honest, we're number one, number two, number three, and number four. I know I am at different times. You know, I'll hear something, or I'm distracted, or I'll get a little piece of the word, and it sounds good, and then, man, it's gone. Proverbs 28:14 says, happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. And we're all this close to that when we hear the word. And then others of us, we receive it with joy. It sounds good, but it doesn't take root. And at other times, it has the cares, the riches of the world. Lord, this is important, but right now I'm doing this other thing. He goes on in verse 16. Says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. So there's a responsibility in hearing, but guys, there's a responsibility in knowing and having the word. There's a responsibility for us to be the sower and to get it out there. And I would say there's a responsibility to get it out there or to create the situation where you bring them in and they can hear it. And ideally, you're doing both. You're casting seed and you're putting them in the presence of seed. It because verse 16 says that those who enter may see the light, that we would have a passion for souls, that we would be concerned for the lost. If you guys knew, if you guys had a cure for cancer, or had a cure for some terrible disease like that, it would be a crime to keep that truth to yourself, to keep it hidden. And that's what we have in a hopeless world when you have the hope of Jesus Christ and don't share that. So take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. You've walked through that door. And as you walk through that door and as you seek more, you'll be given more. You'll be given more understanding and you'll dig deeper into the word. Whoever does not have even what he seems to have will be taken away from him. Verse 19, then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told to him by some who said, your mother, your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. Okay, picture, let's come back to the scene. We're almost done. Okay, but he's telling these stories. The multitudes have gathered. They're on the tour, right? And the crowd has gathered. And somebody says, Jesus, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are back here. Let them come to the front. You know, let them get backstage or come up, have a position of honor. You would expect that, right? Look how he responds. Verse 21, but he answered and said to them, my mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. I wish I had an illustrator. Because to this crowd, with their value on family and the importance and responsibility of it, jaws would have literally, I think, come unhinged, just dropped. It would have made them faint to hear that. Your mothers and brothers want to come up. Who are they? My family are those that hear the word, that receive the seed on good soil and apply it and hear the word of God and do it. So how do we do that? How do we not be number one, number two, number three, but actually receive soil? Here's the good news. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Actually, turn with me there. We'll end with this. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I'm just going to read through the first 8 verses here. I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Listen to verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So if we abide in Jesus, and his word is in us, we will bear much fruit. We'll be good ground, fertile ground, weed-free ground. So dwell. How do we abide? It just means dwell. It means hang out with Jesus. It's been said, you can count the number of seeds in an apple, but you can't count the number of apples in a seed. Think that through. Okay, if I split open an apple, you can count them, right? But if you take a seed and you put it in good soil, what happens? It grows. It turns into a tree. And on that tree are a bunch of apples. And if you take those apples and you pull out the seeds and you plant those. You know, my wife loves sunflowers. So the last couple of years, I've bought seeds and I planted sunflowers. And those sunflowers, you know, I probably am supposed to pick them or chop them or do something, but I've left them. And those seeds all fall. And for the last 2 years, I haven't bought a single seed. They just fall, and I go out and pretend I'm doing this, and they come up all by themselves. Pretty awesome. But it's the result of planting seed. And guys, that's what we need to do with the Word of God. That like that apple, that we would take that and we would plant it and plant it and plant it. And then, like Jesus, we'd come back to it and we'd water it and tend it and help yank the weeds. And you guys get it? We do that by abiding, hanging out, dwelling with Jesus, and continuing to take in his word. Take heed how we hear. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you so much for this reminder for me and for this church and this body, Lord, that you don't speak just to speak. You speak to be heard. And we're accountable for that. And it's not just a matter of accountability, Lord, but it's a matter of desire. Take heed how we hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given. Lord, that's our desire, that we'd have greater understanding. And not just greater understanding, Lord, but greater desire. That you'd increase our want to hear your word. Increase our want to read your word. That we wouldn't hide it, Lord. That we'd plant it and plant it and plant it and tend it and water it. For the sake of your kingdom and your glory, that the hearer may hear. So Lord, give us application. Give us practical application this week of this, that we would have an encounter, we would have an opportunity to plant, Lord, and at that time we'd think back to your word and we'd be obedient through the strength and power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we hear, that we'd be mindful of the lack of water and the shallow soil. And ask for your living waters, Lord, the anointing of your Holy Spirit on your word in our life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.